Today's podcast and the following message are brought to you by ICMA University. If you're an ICMA member or you work for one, here's a deal for you. With our new webinar subscription program, you can now have year-round access to subject matter experts and industry-leading education delivered right to your desk or conference room. Learn more at icma.org/webinar subscription. Welcome to this episode of ICMA's Local Gov Life. I'm your host, Erica White. This season, we're sharing stories of crisis and resilience. From natural disasters to acts of violence, local government leaders are on the front line, responsible for guiding the staff and community through the crisis and its aftermath. These powerful stories are told by the people who lived and led through them. If you think a municipal bankruptcy doesn't have the same gut-wrenching consequences as a natural disaster, this story will change your mind. In today's episode, we'll hear how Kurt Wilson navigated through Stockton, California's bankruptcy crisis. Wilson joined the city of Stockton as deputy city manager in 2012, less than 10 weeks after the city filed for Chapter 9 bankruptcy protection. He was appointed city manager in 2014 and helped lead Stockton to his status today, one of the most fiscally healthy cities in the U.S. Wilson's background as a founding member of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security served him well in providing focus and direction during a time rife with fear, anxiety, and confusion.
Stockton, for some people, is known for the bankruptcy that it completed a few years back. And although it will be part of the legacy of Stockton, really doesn't define Stockton. So it doesn't define who Stockton is today, and it really doesn't define who Stockton was prior to the bankruptcy. What it really does define is it epitomizes the impacts of making bad decisions over a long period of time. And it also highlights the opportunities to grow and to demonstrate resilience and leadership as an organization works its way from a very difficult place back to a very prosperous place. So I came to Stockton as the deputy city manager about 10 weeks after the city filed for bankruptcy. So part of the Stockton struggle predates me. At the time that I got there, the city manager at the time, along with the city manager before him, had begun a series of very sobering activities with respect to the city's finances after a very long period of making what we now know to be questionable financial decisions, myopic financial decisions. The city was heading for a very difficult place. Prior to filing for bankruptcy, the city attempted to right the ship the regular way through a series of cuts. So the city ended up cutting about $90 million out of its general fund in the 3 years leading up to bankruptcy. So this meant that from an employee standpoint, there were some very dramatic cuts that affected existing employees, and then it happened again the following year, and then it happened again the following year. So there was a bit of shell shock going on among the actual city employees because year after year, they had things taken away from them, not job responsibilities or productivity markers, but resources and pay and benefits that were taken away from them, essentially through no fault of their own. Because of the folks who were at the helm, that workforce suffered. So that created a very interesting dynamic with respect to morale, and there's a direct link between morale and productivity. So to sort of set the stage for Stockton was a very difficult time within the workforce. In fact, there were some very contentious things that happened between labor groups and city managers throughout that time period. But within this crisis, much like every other, there are a few things that set the stage for conflict for us. We make decisions every day. We take actions. We sort of do things. But the impetus for most of those actions is political in nature. So it's that headline in the newspaper. It's that phone call to the elected official that sort of drives things. All those types of things are political in nature and often based on emotion. Just as an elected body might want to pass a bill or pass a law in response to something that just happened based on some emotional response, many of the actions we do on a day-to-day basis are done on that same thing. The problem with that is everything about that is short-term. We have short-term inputs that drive so many of the actions that we do. But the actions that we actually take on a day-to-day basis have very long-term impacts. So that mismatch between the short-term and the long-term is inherently fraught with conflict. And it allows us to be in a spot where we sort of can't see the forest for the trees. In Stockton's case, it meant that we continued to make decisions that in the short term made sense. They sort of got us through the next budget year. got us through the next political cycle, but they were, as it turns out, having some devastating impacts on the long term. When we have that day-to-day focus on putting out fires, we do so at the expense of the longer term, at things like training or preparing or planning for those long-term impacts. So when that crisis hits us, we're left somewhat unprepared. If it's a natural disaster and we need to then rely on our training, if we haven't had that training, we've got some difficulty. In the case of Stockton, rather than a natural disaster, it was really a self-made disaster, a series of myopic decisions that were detrimental to the long term. By the time Stockton started to really acknowledge the extent of the problem, it made heroic efforts to really try to right the ship. Unfortunately, by then, it just wasn't able to be done absent bankruptcy. But had the same team been there earlier and been able to take that same level of action earlier, Stockton would have been able to avoid the bankruptcy crisis. But in the case of bankruptcy, bankruptcy happens when you simply wait too long to take that corrective action. The crisis itself, of bankruptcy or any other, it's filled with confusion and anxiety and fear. It's a very difficult time. So I mentioned the employees having gone through all of those morale-busting activities that really put them in a questionable spot, made them question whether they still wanted to continue to work for the city, whether they felt like they were valued, whether they were appreciated. From the community standpoint, bankruptcy was slightly different in that those same employees who were beaten up year after year after year, they continued to produce. They continued to produce the work and to provide services to the citizens. So while all this was going on, and in Stockton's case, 43% of the non-safety employees were eliminated as part of this horrible process, but they really made up the slack. So the average citizen really didn't feel a proportionate level of impact. We still answered 911 calls. We still filled potholes. We still did all those things. So the workforce actually took a deeper hit than the community did. The community's biggest hit with bankruptcy was the embarrassment of bankruptcy and trying to figure out what that was all about. But when you have all this going on, this confusion, this anxiety, this fear, somebody's got to take charge. The whole concept of being in a leadership position in the city is that we're the ones who should take charge. Our regular day-to-day process, we're very focused on things like collaboration and we're very democratic and we try to make everything a learning experience. But there comes a time in the middle of a crisis when you set that aside and you say, no, here's what's going to happen. We're going to do this. Let's go. Because at that point, you need to get some action and you don't have the luxury of doing the full democratic process in the same way that you otherwise would. That leadership is more important during a crisis than it is on any other time. So on a random Wednesday morning, the level of leadership required from a city executive is not nearly what it is right in the middle of a crisis, because somebody's got to come up with the focus and the direction, got to get everybody on board because there are things that need to be done and they've got to be done quickly. The focus and the direction for how that process happens, it doesn't determine whether or not you're going to get through it. You know, the good news is, generally speaking, the organization's going to get through whatever's going on. The issue is whether it'll get through it well and how long it'll take to get through it. And that's really a function of the focus and the direction, which is part of that leadership. If the organization and the members within the organization are able to be very focused, if they have a clear direction and they know what needs to be done, they will come on board. They are public servants by nature. They want to help. They want to fix things. They want to make things better. They'll lend their talents to getting the organization to where it's got to be. But they've got to have those clear priorities. In the case of Stockton, right before I got here, the council established some very clear priorities with respect to the bankruptcy and the financial health and the lengths it was willing to go through to make sure that it came out well. Having those priorities were one of the more important processes throughout the bankruptcy process. So as an example, one of the things that the city of Stockton did pre-bankruptcy was offer a retiree benefit to employees and their dependents. That's a process that's from the employee standpoint, made sense because, hey, if my employer offers something, it makes sense. I should be able to have it. And people planned their working years and their retirement calculations based on expecting that benefit because that's something they were told they were going to get. It turns out Stockton failed to pre-fund in any way that obligation. So it ended up being such a giant, unaffordable financial obligation that the city simply couldn't afford it. So one of the more traumatic, emotionally traumatic components of the bankruptcy was the elimination of that benefit. So that was eliminated not only for current employees, but for those employees who were already retired. As you can imagine, taking away health care, and this is pre-Affordable Care Act, so even some of the options that are available today were simply not available at that point. Taking that away from retirees is about the most difficult and emotionally taxing thing that you can imagine. So as part of that process, many of those retirees came in and legitimately recited their own situation of how they had medical issues going on, that absent the city's process, they would be simply uninsurable. And based on their preconditions, again, pre-Affordable Care Act, they would be unable to get insurance. So you had these folks who had given their time, their whole productive working lives to the city, and were in a spot who were saying, listen, I'm going to die, or my children are not going to get the treatment that they need if you take this action. And the decision weighed very, very heavily on the city officials, because had there been any other option at all that would have worked, they would have opted for that, because no one wanted to go through that process of making such an ugly decision. But for the long-term benefit of the organization and all the people who depend on the long-term wealth and health of the organization, that decision had to be made. Part of the reason that the leadership at the time was able to do it, despite it being such a difficult decision, was that they had already established some very clear priorities. And among those priorities was making sure that they were looking after the long-term interests, recognizing that the city had a history of looking at the short-term at the expense of the long-term. And part of it was that in that priority session, they established the need to look at the best interest of the largest number of people. In the absence of those priorities, I don't think that the leadership at the time would have been willing to make those decisions, because they were just simply too hard. And had they not done that, while they would have been able to avoid that moment in time and the pain that they inflicted at that point in time, the city itself would never have been able to turn the corner and ultimately would have let down those same people along with other people, because there's so many people who are counting on that. Resilience is a learned trait. It's really a product of prior circumstance. And when you go through a crisis, no matter what the crisis is, you grow from it, you can learn from it, and you can come out in a much better place as a result of going through that crisis. And while most of our crises don't involve life and death, at least from the city management standpoint, some of them do, some of the ones we wouldn't expect. Fixing a financial issue isn't something that I would have assumed had actual critical life impacts, but in the case of healthcare, it really did. But even in our day-to-day decisions, whether our crisis is a natural disaster or something else, the decisions that we make have some very big impacts on people. And anything that's that important to other people continues to have the ability to create that level of anxiety, that confusion, and that fear. And again, no matter what the issue is, the organization is probably going to get through it. But how you deal with that confusion, that anxiety, that fear, the leadership that you bring forth during that critical time, how you come up with that focus and that direction really determines how long you're going to stay in that miserable place and how well you're going to come out of it at the other end. Fortunately for Stockton, Stockton has made a complete 180 and is now the 18th most financially stable large city in America. That didn't come easy, but it came at the result of some very significant financial decisions based on those same priorities of really moving things forward. So during the crisis, there were a lot of compromises from a lot of people. A lot of people had to really sacrifice. And in Stockton's case, once it became clear that the sacrifice was unavoidable, it also became clear that the worst thing we could do is have all these people sacrifice and then ultimately take the organization back into a bad place. And while we wish the community and the workforce didn't have to make those sacrifices, since they did, we don't want those sacrifices to have been for nothing. The next time we go through a crisis in Stockton, we're hoping we can rely on those clearly established priorities so that we don't get sidetracked with the noise and we can focus directly on those priorities. And we hope that we can pay attention to the boring stuff. When you're not in a crisis, it's very unattractive to spend a lot of time on training and on planning and on, you know, earthquake drills and doing some of those things. But when the incident actually happens, we really rely on having done that. We hope that our leadership going forward for the next few generations will be the kind of leadership that when push comes to shove, they will essentially take charge, recognizing that if the city leaders don't take charge, somebody else will. and that somebody else may or may not have the same motive or the same public service construct in their thinking. And Stockton will continue to maintain the focus. Very difficult to do when the decisions we make are based on short term, and we need to stay focused on the long term. That mismatch does not always play well politically, does not always play well with the constituents, but hopefully Stockton will continue to have that strength to make those decisions even when they're unpopular, if it means that it's in the best long-term interest of the organization. And Stockton will continue to have that direction so that we're not just simply going through the motions, but whether we're in time of crisis or in just our regular day-to-day process, we're going to have a very clear direction for where we're going so that we can provide the stability and the environment that our employees need to ultimately provide the services that our citizens expect.
That's our show for today. Share your thoughts about the episode by leaving a comment at icma.org/podcasts. Subscribe now on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a rating. Also, please share on social media and tell a friend about us. This episode was sponsored by ICMA University. Thanks for listening to this episode of ICMA's Local Gov Life.